I know personally as a pastor, I know when I'm not doing something for the Lord. You want to know why? Because when it don't go the way I want it to go, I get mad. So then I know it's not for God's glory. I know it's for my glory. You want to know how I know that? Because I get mad. So if it's for God's glory, why are you getting mad?
This is Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller, and glad that you're with us as today we continue a message entitled Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. And Pastor, really, we began last time talking about the importance of unity in the body of Christ. And if we do have unity, it's probably because we're going to be focused on the person and the work of Jesus. And as you were just pointing out for us a moment ago, when we are focused on Him and what He has called us to do and what He has set out for us, we can approach that with a totally different mindset.
Oh, I think so. Because the mindset becomes the chief motivation for the maintenance of unity. The mindset demonstrates your motivation. In other words, why are you doing what you're doing? And if it's always answered in the affirmative for the glory of God, then you're going to maintain the unity because you will be able to disagree without being disagreeable. You'll be able to have a consensus about the direction we need to go and how we need to get there and what it will take for us to get there and the sacrifice that everybody needs to make this thing happen for the cause of Christ. I think it's most important.
It is hugely important, yet it's something that so many believers struggle with. We see all these divisions across the body of Christ, and today we're going to spend some time looking at five concepts of unity in ministry. Want to give us one or two as we get started?
We're going to talk about when you start off, you find that Paul says the biggest problem is that there is carnality, not consecration. That is, he begins to tell people it's the WIFM mentality, the acronym WIFM, what's in it for me? Mm-hmm. And that's something that mitigates against the glory of God. And so, you know, we can't be unrealistic. We all have a little WIFM with us.
Sure. Yeah. We all do.
Yeah. And I think, though, we'll be able to see that God gives us something to do. And as we come together, the gratification is based on the fact that we are accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish. Hmm. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We all get a sense of we have been laborers together with him in the accomplishing of his purpose, with his power and his provision for his praise.
Well, if you can, I hope you'll open your Bible and join us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as that's where Pastor Ford has us today.
Here's what he says, and I, brethren, now stop right there. I like what he's doing here, because there's a problem in the church, and he's an apostle. He has apostolic authority. And you know what that means? He can tell people what to do. But he says, and I, brethren. Now, let me tell you, Delphos, you remember it means from the same womb. What's he saying? You really can't legislate and command people to be unified. You just encourage them to be unified. So he says, I want you to know we're in this together, brethren. I want you to know I have your best interests at heart, brethren. He's saying, listen, hey, look at the person beside you. That's your brother or your sister if they're a Christian. Now, guess what? You mean to tell me you can't stand sitting beside them 2 hours on Sunday when you're going to be living with them for all eternity in heaven? That only makes sense to me. And so we are brethren. So he sets the foundation. This ain't fussing. This ain't trying to get nobody straight. This ain't trying to point nobody out. This is saying, listen, as we begin to look at each other, let's not forget who we are and what we've been called to do. Amen. So unity, here's what he tells me. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For where is there is among you envy and strife and divisions? Are you not carnal and walk as men? Now, let me just bottom line this thing, because here's what he's saying. He's saying in essence to them. Now, when did he write 2 Corinthians? Around AD 55. So when did he write 1 Corinthians? Around AD 50. So you know what that means? In 5 years, he expected them to be mature enough to be able to work together without killing each other. He expected them to have reached a level of maturity where they were on meat and not milk. Now, look at what's going on here, because here's what he says. He says three things. He says, you're like babies in Christ. Now, they weren't babes. He said, you're acting like babies. See, the actions that you expect from new Christians ought to be different from the ones that you get from old Christians. The Bible calls us to childlikeness, not childishness. And there are a lot of us, we are childish. He says, that's flesh. That's not of faith. So how do I know when I'm walking in, I know when I'm walking in the flesh and I ain't walking in the spirit. How do I know that? Because I'm a fruit inspector. So I listen to what I say. Is what I'm saying part of faith or flesh? The three things he says here, they're in order, they're succession. Now listen to what he says. What's among you? First of all, it starts with envying. That's on the inside. It starts on the inside. Then strife. It's permeating, infecting other people. And then he says division. See what happens? It starts internally and it manifests externally. So anytime I see division, the body divided or ministry divided, guess what you have to say? Somebody or all of them are walking in the flesh. They are not walking in the... There is an internal problem that somebody has that they are reacting to. Yeah, my grandbaby come home one time and I said, what are you doing home? It's early from school. And she said, I got sent home from school, my daddy said I need to come to your house and my mommy picked me up and dropped me off here from work. And I said, well, what's wrong, baby? You weren't sick yesterday. Here's what she said. I know, but three of my friends, they were sick and I played with them. So I guess I got sick because I was playing with sick people. I guess you get sick when you play with sick people. That if there's somebody that got issues in your ministry, just like we said in marriage, that issue that is internal is going to come in strife and then division. Now check this out. See, I feel my help coming on. I can feel him all over me. I'm preaching the right one now, baby. I could tell. I didn't have it this morning. I knew it. I was like, I wanted to sit down. But, oh, yeah, I feel my help coming on now. And so here's what he says. Notice three things he says. He says this, three problems in 1-4 that demonstrates carnality and not consecration. What's consecration? Consecration is when whatsoever I do in word or in deed, I do all to the glory. How do I know? I know personally as a pastor, I know when I'm not doing something for the Lord. You want to know why? Because when it don't go the way I want it to go, I get mad. So then I know it's not for God's glory. I know it's for my glory. You want to know how I know that? Because I get mad. So if it's for God's glory, why are you getting mad? And that's always I ask myself, why are you getting mad? That's right, because I'm in the flesh. Amen. Yeah, and of course, you know, as a pastor, I'm not going to sit up here and lie. There are sometimes I know I'm in the flesh, and I want to stay in it. You can't cuss nobody out in the spirit. You can't go upside somebody's head in the spirit. Can't tell nobody off in the spirit. That don't even sound right. You know what? I can't stand you and I'm tired of you in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that don't make sense. That ain't gonna work. So here's what he says, three things. He says, what's going on with this carnality? He says, there are three failures. Number one, the failure to commune. Say, what is that? He used the word koinonia, which means fellowship. In other words, why this foundation? Why this unity in ministry based on what Christ has already done? Because the koinonia, fellowship, this ain't eating food together. This is having a common spiritual basis and vision. Partners, spiritually, and every other way, because it starts spiritually and it affects us every other way. And so what's happening here? He says, man, you're not fellowshipping. Man, you know, somebody said to me, hey, why does this early church have so much power? I said, well, think about it. You know, they have fasting and prayer. We have prayer breakfasts. Think about it. They buffeted their body. We buffet ours. But I said, but you know what? Don't forget this. Acts 2 says they met together every day. See, if you're getting together with somebody just on a Sunday, you're going to get what Sunday can give you. But if you're going to somebody's crib, putting your feet under their table, sitting down watching their TV, trying to use their remote. I say trying, because you come to my house, don't even ask for it. That's the only thing I run in my house. You ain't getting that. Oh, I'm sorry. You aren't getting that.
I think it works that way in a lot of guys' houses. Or you're listening to a message entitled Teamwork Makes the Dream Work as we dive in and take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you want to make sure that you don't miss any of the teaching in this series, you can always go to your favorite app store and get the Moody Radio app. It's available for your Apple products and Android products. And not only can you listen to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, but other Moody Radio programs and internet radio stations. Again, look for the Moody Radio app when you go to your favorite app store. Let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Ford.
Then he says, secondly, not just the failure to commune. In other words, hey, everybody says it all the time. I meet with a staff, and my staff says it all the time. But Larry's always saying it. We need to get together more. We need to fellowship more. A couple of the elders are always saying it. Brother Elder Barres always says it. We need to fellowship more. We need to fellowship more. We need to fellowship more. We just need to get together. Just be guys. We need to just be people. Notice the second failure, the failure to consume, fed with scripture. See, what's the first problem that causes this carnality? There's a failure to commune, fellowship with the saints. There's no fellowship going on. But the failure to consume, see what he says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. In other words, he's saying, listen, the Bible is food for the believer. Now, it's amazing to me how we think we can exist on one meal a week. And you know what I like about the Word of God? The Word of God is wholesome. It's not junk food. And guess what? It's food from every food group. Okay, you don't believe me, do you? It's milk. 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. It's meat. 1 Corinthians 3:2, I fed you with milk and not with meat. It's honey. Psalm 119, your word is like honey. Matthew 4:4 is bread. Man shall not live alone by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. It's all four food groups. It's healthy. They weren't Listen, they weren't fed with the scriptures. I know what you're saying, because I hear it all the time. And sometimes it's correct, and a lot of times it's not. Like, I have some partners that I hang with, and I hang with some bad boys. I hang with some expositors. That is, individuals that don't play with the Word of God. Individuals that tell you book, chapter, verse. You can see everything they say in the text. See, some people take a text. They read a scripture, take that text somewhere, never mention it again, and never bring it back before you. And end up, right. I know y'all right. Can you tell me something else about it? And so they say, I'm not being fed. Is the problem you're not being fed or you're not eating? See, are you availing yourself? And then you wonder why we got so much mess in the church. Because when the table is spread, their feet ain't under it. Most of them. Now you say, wait a minute. Most of the ones that keep up the fuss and all that, they come to Bible study. They come to church. Yeah, that may be true. But what are you assimilating from the Word of God? What are you applying? Then notice the third thing he says. The failure of conduct, that is, the fruit of the Spirit, is not evident. I already talked about that. Notice secondly with me, what's going on? Listen, we have to have unity in ministry, and we have to know that it's based and founded not on the church, the pastor, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the second thing he says. He says, unity in ministry is consecration, not carnality, 1-4. He says, unity in ministry is cooperation, not competition. Let me say that again. Cooperation, not competition. See, look at what's going on in this text. They're competing against, they're pitting Paul against Apollos and all that. Listen to this. He says, verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God. See, ain't nobody up in here important for real. Only Jesus. Hey, now this much I know. I hope that I've been a good pastor. I haven't been perfect. Go ahead and say it. I haven't been perfect. Amen. See, they don't even know when to say amen. Okay, but I've tried to shepherd you. I've tried to do best. Listen, so once I'm gone, will there be a problem? Will it be a crisis in heaven? And the Lord says, where will I find another like he? Answer, anywhere. See, one preacher was talking to Bishop Brazier. He went on to be the Lord. When he was sick with cancer, he went in, he said, I think it was Pastor Noel Jones, he said, I made a mistake. I said to him, Bishop, isn't it something that in God's economy, no one is indispensable? He said, and I thought about it, oh, I shouldn't have said that. The man's on his deathbed. He said, without missing a beat, Bishop Brazier said, yes, no man is indispensable, but some men are irreplaceable. I said, oh, I like that. But Moses, they loved him, Prince of Egypt, but he died. And they had a 30-day funeral. Joshua chapter 1, God said, 30 days is enough of this. He said, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is get up, get these people, and get across. In other words, God said, the man of God died, but God don't die. The work goes on. I can get mad and leave, and the work, somebody, one of these brothers here going to jump up. But you know it's true. And so why would we be in competition? Man, I love the preaching of Pastor Avery. Man, I love it. I love it. You know, I do. He, we introduced him yesterday, and here's what I told him. I said, now, I didn't send you any CDs or DVDs of him, but you got to make me a promise that if I do, you'll still let me come. Amen. Man, I love it. And I know y'all love it too, because not only is it good, it's usually short. Say, yeah, we got fed and we got up out of here. Say, we're not in competition. We are called the body of Christ. And so what's going on? Why is it that there has to be who's the best singer? Who's this, that, and the other? No, that's not what it's all about. He says, one plant, one waters, but God gives the increase. We're not competing. We're complementing each other. Man, I bring some things to the table that they don't bring to the table. But every one of them brings something to the table that I don't bring to the table. I need them. I need them. Yeah, because I don't have it all. I heard a guy say, I got all the gifts of the Spirit. I said, are you a church all by yourself then? You don't need nobody else. I ain't never heard of that. God giving one man all the gifts. I got all the gifts operating. Yeah, well, you a church all by yourself, buddy. Yeah, it is. We're in this together. Yesterday, I tell the story. I like to tell my pastor told it. And he don't even remember it, but I tell it all the time. It was the day when they would have the bellows on the organ, and you had to pump it in order to make a sound. Yeah, and so a little boy was down there, the great concert of the great maestro, and he was pumping the bellows. And he came to the crescendo, and this is a major piece on with the notes and all that other stuff, the lines and squiggly things, and so he looked down in the bellows and he said, "More air, more air, hurry up!" And little boy, and the maestro did standing ovation. Well, in between the first concert and the second concert, little boy looked up from the bellows and said, Maestro, we got a standing ovation. We did good, didn't we? Maestro said, what do you mean, we? Next set, he gets to the same part. He looks down in the bellows. He says, more air, more air. Little boy looks up with a twinkle in his eye and says, then shall it be we? Hey, that's it. That's it. Hey, we need everybody to understand it's not competition. There'll be some things that will never get done if you don't do them. Yeah, if you don't do them.
That is Pastor Ford in a message called Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. It's really a look at 1 Corinthians 3 today. We're going to continue this teaching next time, but if you want to make sure you don't miss that, come to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org, and there you can sign up to begin podcasting the program. Hey, quickly before we go, I want to remind you that Treasured Truth is listener-supported, and that means we depend not just on your prayer support, but also your financial support. There is a cost to producing this program, from production costs to airtime, and so if you'd like to give a gift and stand with us, come to treasuredtruthradio.org and click on the link that says Make a Donation. Thanks for doing that. Thanks also to our producer, Amy Rios, for Bible teacher, Pastor Ford. I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.